Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Adam Burke, managing editor at VSiN, will join us, and we will go over baseball. He did the MLB betting guide, which you can find at VSiN.com. It is tremendous. So we will go through every division, his favorite over-unders for win totals, awards. We'll unfortunately probably get to will there be baseball in 2027, but for now we will enjoy 2026 and we will dive into all of his bets. And he does, man, not an exaggeration to say he does a better job than anyone I think I've ever read in terms of just the minutia of everything you want to know about these teams, and really gets into the data and does a good job breaking down these previews. So excited to talk to Adam, excited to talk some baseball, and excited to say this is the last full weekend in February, because next week we turn the calendar to March on Sunday. So it is Sunday, March 1st, in about 10 days or so, a little over a week, depending on when you listen to this. So the last full weekend of February, I want to say it a few more times because it sounds good. And I love all these sports, all these times of the year, but the middle of February, that the gap between football and the conference tournaments, as I've mentioned, is the one where it's like, man, it's just, there's no baseball. It's not like, because people always say July or August, and I've talked about this in past podcasts, July or August is the worst, but at least you have baseball. Those all-star break days are tough, but regular season college basketball, I love it. I love watching it, but it does, there's no stakes to it, and you just want to get to the conference tournaments, and we are almost there. UConn playing terribly, by the way. I mean, they never seem to cover these big numbers, but it was like, all right, they're like 23-1. How much can you really crush them? Maybe they're coasting. Although with Hurley, I don't know if you ever coast with Hurley. You're not that good. And then on Wednesday night, they lose as 15-point favorites to Creighton. They're tied at half. They get 45 points in the first half. You figure, all right, second half, they'll focus. They'll turn up the intensity defensively. And they led by 6 or 7 points. You think, all right, here they go. They'll probably pull away and probably not going to cover the 15 or so, but they'll, win, probably win by double digits. And next thing you know, Creighton takes the lead, and Creighton wins the game going away. And I don't know that they can get a one seed at this point. I guess if you won the rest of your games, including beating St. John's, then win the Big East tournament, and these other teams fall a couple games, the Houstons, the Iowa States, they knock each other off, maybe you can get back to a one. But and they do have a good non-conference, beating Florida and Illinois and at Kansas, BYU, all of that. Although BYU, that win's not aging as well as some of these other ones. The Florida win and the Illinois win are aging quite nicely. And even at Kansas is a good win. Really good win. But I don't know that they have enough to get back to the one. And I do think the ones, like who the one seed is, can be overrated at times. But, boy, it's going to be tough here because the Big East is so down. I don't know that they're just going to have enough opportunity to stack good wins and build their profile back up. And you don't want, even whether you're the one or the two, you'd rather be the three than have to play the South Regional and be there with Houston, where you potentially play Houston in an Elite Eight situation on the road. And the way it's going for UConn, man, I don't know if you're playing anybody in the Elite Eight. I think you might sign up for an Elite Eight, even if it's a road game at this point, because I don't know if they're winning three tournament games. I wouldn't think, especially, all right, let's just say they're a two seed. They're not going to get picked off by the 15 seed, you wouldn't think. Then the 7 seed, they'll be favored. And then if you can win that, you're in the Sweet 16. But I don't know. Outside of, I'm pretty confident they'll win a game in the tournament. Like I said, I don't expect a 15 to beat them. I talked about them a couple weeks ago, 15-1 odds. That was, I thought, the best value because it's still Hurley. Even on a down year last year, they won a game and then really could have, probably should have beat Florida. They're down to 19-1. I don't want to say it's dead money or you're drawing dead with that UConn ticket, because who knows if they flip a switch in March and the bracket and the draw, and maybe you can at least put yourself in a position to hedge. But that team winning 6 tournament games just feels unlikely at this point. And if they do end up in that region with Houston, that would be a tough spot, winning that Elite Eight kind of game basically on the road. But with the way they're playing, winning 3 tournament games is a long way from where UConn is. And who knows, maybe if you get in that situation, Houston gets picked off. But UConn has really played poorly here. You hope if you're a UConn fan or you're holding a UConn ticket that it's just midseason malaise. It's hard to say, well, they won championships, so do this in the NBA. They won championships, so they don't really care about the regular season. They're just getting ready for the tournament. That makes sense in the NBA, but this is college. These kids, outside of Caravan, these kids weren't on the title team. It's a whole new group of kids, so I'm not sure, but UConn, their level of play has been concerning recently. Like I said, they're down like 19-1 to win the whole thing. Good weekend of college coming up. Duke against Michigan. I would think Michigan would beat them. Line's not up yet. I would imagine, you know, everyone I talk to, you know, doing these shows on VSiN, hosting VSiN primetime these nights where I'm on 7 to 10 Friday nights. I should probably promote this more. I've been filling in a lot more, but 7 to 10 Friday nights, 7 to 11 Wednesday nights. And then I'm on the weekend, 6 to 10 Eastern at night, and then 9 a.m. to 12 Eastern on Sundays. I just read off my whole schedule. Fascinating podcasting, I'm sure, very entertaining. What was I saying? Oh, everyone I talk to says they like Michigan, and probably Michigan minus 2, and they'll bet Michigan. If that's the case, it's probably not going to, the 2's probably not going to last. 4 would seem high. I guess you probably meet somewhere in the middle where it's probably Michigan by 3, maybe Michigan by 3.5. But I would expect Michigan to win. If it's 3, 3.5, I'd probably still lean towards Michigan, but that'll be a fun game. Fun to get a nice out-of-conference game on this late in the season. Not that it matters for, you know, big picture purposes, and Michigan wins the game, great. If they lose, they're going to be fine, and vice versa for Duke. They could easily meet again in the Final Four, if not the title game. You know, little shades of the early 90s with Leitner and the Fab Five. So it's a bit of a throwback, an odd late season game, but this game should have a lot of juice in it. On Saturday, I would expect Michigan to win. You do get Arizona-Houston too, but that's going to be some of the fun is taken out of that. Coa Pete, the outstanding freshman for Arizona, is out. So, like I said, good games this weekend. The college basketball has been really good, but get me to the conference tournaments, and we're getting ever so closer to that. Before we talk to Adam, some baseball thoughts. Boy, the more you read this, the more you lose hope that 2027 there will be baseball, at least in terms of 162. I hope they're not dumb enough and selfish enough and greedy enough to, in both sides, to not somehow meet in the middle. I know the players are steadfast on not having a salary cap, which I understand, but man, I know you got a lot of time between now and then. It seems like these sides are very far apart. It's hard to imagine you have a full season. I just hope they're not dumb enough to, you know, really kill the momentum baseball has, because baseball's in a good spot right now. That was a great World Series. Ratings are good. The attendance is good. I think the fact that, you know, betting has people engaged, the pitch clock is up. There's a lot of positives right now for baseball. And if you miss a year, man, I don't know how you ever come back from that again. We're a long way from that, but it does not sound promising with how far these sides, you know, how far apart these sides are, that these issues are going to get resolved in a timely manner. So we'll see. But as far as a bet, I mentioned last week I like the Orioles plus 475 still to win the division. That's probably my favorite of all these. I do like Texas too with DeGrom, Gore, and Eovaldi. Figure some of those young offensive players play a little better this year. They just couldn't quite get over the hump last year. Every time they flirted with making a run, they couldn't do it. But I like Texas at plus 340 to win the division. Orioles at plus 475 with Rodgers, Bradish in the rotation. Baz, you get him out of Tampa, that minor league ballpark. I think he'll pitch better in Baltimore. And Bassett is an innings eater and a really good lineup that adds Alonso and Ward. We'll see about the bullpen. I know it's a good division, and any of those four teams outside of Tampa can win it. To me, plus 475 is a good bet. And if you want to go a step further, and boy, you could give me all the money in the world, and it wouldn't be enough to bet some of these season-long stuff, league leaders, awards, over-under for wins, over-under for player props. If you love baseball, man, there's just so much product out there to bet. How about this one, though? Ryan Helsley, the Orioles closer, to lead the league in saves, 30-1. If you're of the belief that the Orioles are going to be really good, and that division will beat each other up, everyone's going to beat each other up. But you know what? Diaz, the short shot at plus 400 for the Dodgers. He's a rightful favorite, but who knows? Dodgers maybe win a lot of games where there's not safe situations, or maybe Diaz gets banged up. I don't mind taking a shot. Helsley 30-1, just because I am so high on the Orioles. And he led the league in saves a few years ago. He was awful for the Mets last year. Now people are going to listen and say, Helsley, if you're a Mets fan, you're listening and say, Helsley, I don't want to bet him. He was awful. He was terrible for the Mets. But before that, the three prior years for the Cardinals, he was borderline unhittable. 1-2-3 RA, 2-3, 2-4-5, had 47 saves and led the league a few years ago. So him bouncing back and being on a good Baltimore team I expect to be good, at least 101 games in 2023, 191 games in 2024, and then just everything went wrong last year. I think that is a good bet. And I do think Dodgers, if you can find a 103.5, DraftKings has this market Over-under best record, 104.5. Basically, will any team win 105 games? I don't think the Dodgers or anyone else is winning 105. And if it's not the Dodgers, who else is winning 105? That's a hell of a lot of wins. There's a lot of parity in baseball, despite the salary cap and the salary, you know, payroll discrepancies. Getting to 105 is a lot. And the Dodgers, they made comments after the World Series. Dave Roberts said, basically, we were pacing ourselves. We were load managing. We want to be healthy in October. We got some of these pitchers that, you know, they're talented, but they don't always stay healthy. Snell, Glasnow, Otani. We don't need them healthy in May or June. If you got to give them a month, 6 weeks off to make sure they're healthy in October, or you can never make sure they're healthy in October, but give them a better chance of being healthy in October, we're going to do it. And that's what they did last year. They won low 90s in terms of games. Now, they're so good, they could accidentally win 100 games. Winning 105 is a lot. So you can find that at DraftKings. Will any team win 105 games? Or best record over under 104.5. I like the under there. I think 105 is asking a lot. And like I said, Helsley 30-1 to lead the league in saves. And man, you can bet on all this stuff. Who's going to lead the league? Stolen bases. Who's going to lead the league in homers? Will a player hit 45, 50, 60 homers? I was looking at Kurtz. Nick Kurtz for the A's, who was just an incredible rookie last year. And he is an MVP level bat. I don't know if he'll win it this year, but I would imagine if he stays healthy, he's going to win one. And win one sooner rather than later. 15-1 to hit 60 plus with his power to all fields in that ballpark. And he's in enough of a lineup where you can't really pitch around him with Rooker and some of the other guys. It's not like, you know, in Judge in past years, if there's not protection, you can just walk him. And I feel like times they should probably even walk him more than they do with how good he is compared to everybody else. But 15-1 for Kurtz. I know at 60 is a lot of homers, but man, that minor league ballpark, his swing, his power. It's not crazy. It's really not crazy that he hits 60. Of course, one injury, you know, 1 2-week stint on the IL, and you're basically drawing dead on that bet. So that's part of it too. But if he's healthy and he can play every day, man, he has 60 homer power, especially in that ballpark. So a lot of baseball will start doing more as it gets closer. We'll do obviously more college basketball as the tournament gets underway. So excited for our next guest, Adam Burke. Talk a little baseball, get his thoughts on some of these previews, his best bets. That is next. This Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast. He does the best baseball write-ups you will see anywhere, whether it's season previews, write-ups of individual games, and he joins us now. It is Adam Burke, managing editor at VSiN. Adam, thanks for doing this, man. How are you?
Yeah, man, good to be with you. You and I haven't chatted in a while, so I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, that's my fault. It's been too long, but we're here now, and baseball is right around the corner. Spring training, believe games start on Friday, so baseball is here. I will give you the floor. Of the 30 Major League Baseball teams, your strongest opinion on any of the 30 is what?
Ooh. It's a good question to start things off. You know what? I have realized over the last, you know, few weeks writing this guide, over the last few days kind of looking at what's out there in the betting markets, some of the other, you know, markets I wasn't really looking into because we were doing a lot of stuff with team previews and all that. I'm going to have a lot of Detroit Tigers exposure this season. I mean, they're out there. You look at a market like DraftKings, for example. They're 45-1 to have the best record. Like, I think that's a really, really good price. I think 25-1 to win the World Series is a good number. I think this Tigers team is really, 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 really good. And you talk about getting, you know, Framber Valdez and what he does for that rotation. Now you can withstand if something happens to Tarek Skubal for a little bit, which I think is really important. And second, you get a lot of professional innings coming from a guy like Valdez. Justin Verlander is going to be fine in a big ballpark, especially in the cooler weather, you know, early on in the season. And also the thing that people aren't talking about enough with the Tigers, I get it, right? Their offense is a little bit concerning. They're probably going to be slightly better than league average, but they've got two top 10 prospects coming in Kevin McGonigal and Max Clark, who are going to play a big role here, you know, at some point throughout the course of the season, probably throughout the second half, as long as they stay healthy. So to me, this is a Tigers team that can get better as the season goes along. They're in the worst division in baseball. I think the Tigers are going to be a team I have a ton of exposure on here for this season.
Where does your enthusiasm come from? Obviously, Valdez, great number two. Is it? Do you really like the depth in the rotation? Do you think the lineup's a little bit better than people think? All of the above. What's your reason for the enthusiasm?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of things, right? I mean, obviously, you know, you got the back-to-back AL Cy Young Award winner in Tarek Skubal, who's in a contract year, so you know, there's plenty of incentive for him to go out there and be as good as possible. Framber Valdez is a guy, you know, over a strikeout per inning, typically ground ball guy. It's very, very hard in this day and age in Major League Baseball with optimized defensive positioning and pitch usage and all of that to score runs off of that type of pitching profile. And I think the fact that the Tigers went out and got him, knowing that they were going into this arbitration, you know, hearing with Skubal, knowing that Reese Olson was going to miss the season, even though he's a guy that I really, really like, I think just getting Valdez just adds so much more to the top of this rotation. The bullpen is excellent. And another thing that I don't think people are talking about enough with the Tigers, when you add a guy like Valdez, right, and then you add another guy like Verlander, guys that have, for the most part, stayed healthy throughout their careers. I know Verlander's had Tommy John twice, but for the most part, they've stayed healthy. They're going to give you innings. Remember, this is a Tigers team in high-leverage games when fighting for playoff spots or even in playoff games. They'd be starting guys like Tyler Holton and Troy Melton and Brant Herder and trying to kind of cobble this thing together by playing the matchups, by using their bullpen, stuff like that. Well, when you get a guy like Valdez and you get a guy like Verlander, those high leverage relievers that you've been using as starters now can go back into the bullpen. So I think this Tigers bullpen has a chance to be top five in Major League Baseball because you're going to have those really talented guys now getting high leverage outs late in games, as opposed to having to start games because of injuries or just a lack of depth.
Yeah, and I believe Jackson Jobe at some point will re-enter the mix. He's an exciting young arm. And yeah, I was just looking at the division odds. It's not sexy to take plus 120, plus 130 for a season-long bet. You're not going to go viral on Twitter for that. But to me, I guess the Royals could win it. I don't believe in Cleveland. I'm not sure you do either. Minnesota seems like a stretch. And then the White Sox, I like more than maybe the market, but White Sox probably aren't winning the division. So I would guess you think plus money to win the division is a good bet there.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, again, like I'm going to be on over their season win total. You know, it's tough because I kind of preach not doing that, right? Because, you know, if something doesn't work out in your favor, let's say the Tigers do have a rash of injuries, you know, a lot of these things are not going to come through. But, you know, I'm going to be on over their season win total. I'm going to be on most wins. So I don't know that I'll play the division just because I'm going to have some other exposure that, you know, either feels A, safer, or B, just has a lot more risk but a lot more reward. But, I mean, yeah, I think really, to me, the Royals are the only other team that could win this division. And I do like Kansas City quite a bit. I like their season win total over as well, which probably gives you an idea of what I think of Cleveland, Minnesota, and Chicago, who I give Chicago a ton of credit. At least they're trying. You know, they've made some solid upgrades to that roster, but obviously they're still going to lose 90-plus games. The Royals, with what they're doing to alter the ballpark, they move the fences in. You know, they got Jack Caglione, they drafted Carter Jensen, Bobby Witt Jr. is a guy who's going to see a power uptick now at home as well. And they're just such a smart organization now with all the decisions that they've been making. They're very deep in the rotation, very solid bullpen. Like the lineup gets better as the season goes along as well. I think the Royals are the only competition for the Tigers in this division, and they're still probably several games back off of that pace. So Detroit, to me, is a team that has a good chance of being the number one seed in the American League. So, you know, get them at home. It's October. It's going to be cold. It's going to be miserable, stuff like that. I think these are all kind of factors that really point me towards liking a lot of things about the Tigers. And the Royals are a team. I do like their season win total over, and I think they could be a playoff team. But the rest of the division is so bad that, you know, I'm confident in backing a lot of stuff here with Detroit.
AL East, I'd be shocked if Tampa won the division. Any of the other four winning the division would not surprise me. Obviously, the Jays a play away from winning the World Series. I still can't believe what a great game that was in Game 7. Yankees, I think, are being actually slept on a little bit. I know fans are sick of just running back the same team, but that was still a good team. Red Sox have a lot of exciting young players. The team I like, maybe you could talk me off it, Baltimore at plus 475. I think you get Shane Baz away from the minor league ballpark. Rodgers was great last year. Can he duplicate that? Probably not, but even 70-80% of that is good. Kyle Bradish, a good young arm. I know he's getting a lot of Cy Young buzz. I don't know if he's going to pitch the innings to do that. Bassett is a nice innings eater, a veteran. I love the lineup. What's your thoughts in general here, AL East?
Yeah, I mean, the AL East is, it's a rough, very rough division to handicap. I agree with you on Tampa Bay. I actually played Tampa Bay under their season win total. That was one of my earliest bets here that I made in terms of, you know, season-long futures in Major League Baseball. Going back to the Trop maybe makes a difference for them, but they are so far behind the other four teams in this division that it's not even funny. And, you know, the edges that they used to have because they were so much smarter than everybody else have gone away now because everybody's really smart in Major League Baseball. So now it just comes down to the talent that you have and player development. And I don't think the Rays have really done a very good job of that over the last few seasons. So that's my favorite season win total under in the American League is Tampa Bay. So yeah, to your point, I think any of the other four winning the division does not surprise me in the slightest. I really like this Boston team too, especially because again, they've got that young position player core that's coming up and going to get stronger. They added some really veteran innings in Sonny Gray and Ranger Suarez. But with Baltimore, I understand where you're coming from. And I think the sentiment overall with this Baltimore team is, well, they didn't get Framber Valdez. They didn't get Sonny Gray. They didn't get Ranger Suarez. They didn't get this frontline starter, but they're going to probably run out five above average starting pitchers and then maybe a sixth average guy with Dean Kramer, depending on how he develops a little bit here. I think Craig Albernaz is an excellent managerial hire. He was the bench coach for Stephen Vogt in Cleveland the last 2 years. Of course, Stephen Vogt, back-to-back AL Manager of the Year. So I think that's a really big upgrade in the dugout for Baltimore as well. Gunnar Henderson probably gets back to his MVP type of form. And the other thing about this Baltimore team is, you know, they just didn't hit for enough power last season. Well, now you get two guys who are in the very high percentiles in barrel percentage in Pete Alonso and Taylor Ward. So this offense is better. The pitching staff is better. It's deeper. The bullpen scares me a little bit, but, you know, we'll see what Helsley and Kittredge do as their two big additions. But this Baltimore team, I think they probably have the lowest floor of the Boston, New York, Toronto group, but you could make a case that they have the highest ceiling.
Yeah, in 2023, won 101 games, then the year after, I think 92, and it was like, man, they're here early, they're going to be good, they're young, and then last year it was just a disaster. They had so many pitching injuries and just things got off the rails. Where are you at with the Yankees? I don't know about the bullpen. I never love it. It just feels stale with them. But that being said, when you have Judge, when you have that kind of pitching, you do have a pretty high floor as long as those guys can stay healthy. It's just Yankee fans in general just not excited about, all right, this is the same team last year that got smoked by Toronto in the playoffs. Although a four-game sample is not a way to judge things, even though, you know, Toronto did beat them up in the regular season as well. Where are you at here with New York?
Yeah, like you said, you know, I mean, a lot of times these teams are slept on a little bit that don't really do anything. And, you know, I think the Yankees were kind of thrown off a little bit that Trent Grisham accepted the qualifying offer. I don't think they expected that to happen. And I think they probably had a lot of plans in place with the expectation that he wouldn't take it. And then he did. And then all of a sudden it felt like they sort of went into panic mode of like, okay, what do we do now? Like, you know, this is a guy that we're probably going to be overpaying. I think it's very hard for him to sustain the pace that he had last season. So they probably started thinking, okay, well, now we rely on Ben Rice. You know, now we rely on some of these internal guys. Maybe Spencer Jones figures out how to make more contact. You know, we kind of wait for Rodon and Cole to come back. You know, all these kinds of things where this is still a very good roster. You're absolutely right about that. Man, maybe they are getting slept on a little bit because they grabbed absolutely no headlines throughout the course of the offseason. That said, it is true everyone around them got better, right? I think Toronto got better. Baltimore, we just talked about, got better. Boston definitely got better with the innings that they added to the rotation. So where does that kind of leave the Yankees? You know, I mean, Cam Schlittler, much bigger workload last season than expected because of the injuries and, you know, pitching in high leverage games and stuff like that. We know Max Fried's going to be good, but beyond that, you know, what do you get out of Ryan Weathers? How long is he actually healthy? Luis Gil, you know, coming back off of a major injury last season, you know, he was kind of inconsistent, right? As you would expect for a guy with his control profile. And then the bullpen is what it is. So you can make a case that, you know, the Yankees didn't do anything sexy, so they're not fun coming into the season. But this is running it back with a team that still won 94 games last year in the regular season. So, you know, they could be getting slept on a little bit. I kind of like the upside of the other teams more. But that doesn't mean I'm rushing to bet a Yankees season win total under because there's still a hell of a lot of good talent on that roster.
Yeah, and if you remember last year, their win total was anywhere from 92.5 to 88.5, and a bunch of us had some middle set up, and they won their last like 8 or 9 games to land on 93 and to screw up the middle, which was a tough beat if you had that under. Although you could have hedged out with the way it was, you know, the season was wrapping up. The AL West, fascinating. I don't know what the Astros are anymore. They're certainly not the team they were 5, 6, 7 years ago. Mariners, a ton of pitching. The Rangers, they burned me last year. The offense could just never get going. Every time it looked like the Rangers were about to, all right, they're back in the mix. They're over 500. They're right there. They couldn't sustain it. But when you have DeGrom, Eovaldi, and now Gore, that's a lot of pitching. Plus 340 to win the division, I don't think is a bad price. What are your thoughts on Texas and just overall in this division?
Yeah, you know, I'm with our colleague Gil Alexander. I'm with a lot of people, you know, in the numbers community for baseball that really like this Texas team over their season win total. I mean, you look at them from last year, 81-81, but Pythagorean win-loss record of 90-72. They should have been a better ball club than they were. And they've really upgraded this season. You know, they cut some dead weight out of the lineup, Adolis Garcia specifically. You mentioned they bring in Mackenzie Gore, who I'm not going to make this bet, but I think there's a chance that Mackenzie Gore is a top 10 Cy Young type of guy. I'm not going to bet him to win the award because I just don't know if he's going to stay healthy enough. But, you know, this is a guy that getting away from Washington, which is a bigger outfield, the ball travels a little bit better there. You know, Globe Life Field is the lowest ballpark for batting average on balls in play last season. That's a really big upgrade for Mackenzie Gore. So I think he's in a really, really good spot now. Not to mention, like you said, Eovaldi and DeGrom are there. Like, when you're not pitching, you're talking to Jacob DeGrom, 100%. Who had maybe one of the best, you know, 3-4 year primes we've ever seen out of a pitcher. So that's not a bad thing for Mackenzie Gore's development at all whatsoever. I do like this team over their season win total. I'm a little bit hesitant to play overs on season win totals at this time of the year because guys are going to get hurt, especially with the World Baseball Classic coming up. I'd rather play under season win totals in February and kind of wait on the overs. But this was what I had to play because I knew it was going to go up because of what we saw last season where they underperformed by, you know, 9 games from a Pythagorean win-loss standpoint, and they got better. So this was an over that I had to play a little bit earlier on than I wanted to. I don't want to give this away because I want people to go to VSiN.com/MLB-guide and buy our MLB guide, $19.99 a la carte, or you get it as part of your VSiN Pro subscription. But I can tell you, Will, probably my boldest take in the MLB guide is about the Houston Astros. So I encourage everyone to head on over there and check that out. The Mariners are going to be really good again, but you know, the Rangers are the ceiling team here, I think, in the AL West.
Still can't believe that Scott Service didn't use Munoz in the 7th inning. You can't get beat with your like 4th best reliever there. I had the Mariners in that game 7, man. That's you don't usually talk about like a hangover in baseball, but that's one. You're so close to going to a World Series. It was such a great postseason run, and Detroit could have beaten them just as easily, but I wonder if there's a little bit of a lingering effect for Seattle. Probably not because they have the pitching, but man, that's a tough loss to get over when you've never been there. Now you got to start over from spring training. I wonder about the carryover there. The NL East, really good division. Would you say this is a 3-team race? Mets, Phillies, Braves. I thought the Mets should be the short shot. They now are plus 165 or so at DraftKings. Phillies, I don't know. Is Wheeler going to be healthy? Is he going to be himself? The Braves, we kept waiting for them to click last year. It never happened. Do those guys bounce back? I think the Mets, even though they completely imploded last year in September, are the surest bet here. I don't know that there's a ton of value in plus 165. What's kind of your overall take here for the NL East?
Yeah, the NL East is pretty frustrating for me. I mean, you know, the Mets just the way that they collapsed, as you mentioned. I mean, they started the season 45-24. And then they played 4-10 ball the rest of the way. I mean, that's a 66-win pace over the remainder of their season last year, a little under 100 games. So
that's amazing.
That's really, really
that
poor.
Amazing.
I mean, it's especially with how much money they've spent on this roster and all of that. With that being said, I agree with you. The Mets should be the favorites to win the National League East. Wheeler, I mean, you're talking about thoracic outlet syndrome surgery, which is, you know, a much greater unknown than what we have when it comes to Tommy John. You know, Tommy John, I'm not saying that recovery is linear by any means. It's hardly a guarantee, but that procedure is so commonplace now that you have, you know, just mountains and mountains of data on how to rehab and strengthen and all of that. Wheeler's surgery is a bit different. And now you take Suarez out of this rotation. Jesus Luzardo was terrific last season, but He's a walking health risk. Christopher Sanchez has become a true ace, and you know that's something that's going to help them. But like Aaron Nola was terrible last year, just downright awful. I have no idea what Andrew Painter is going to give you. And this lineup, while it's solid, you got a lot of guys getting into their mid-30s now, to where the aging curve is probably going to start showing up, you know, for several of them, possibly a Trey Turner. You know, they just gave a bunch of money to Kyle Schwarber, who's kind of a one-trick pony hitting home runs and maybe a two-trick pony drawing walks too. I don't really like this Philadelphia team a whole lot. I mean, they rebuilt the bullpen last year at the trade deadline. I think they did a very good job of doing that. They're a high floor team, right? They're going to win 85 something plus games, something like that. But I don't think that this is a great team by any means. The Braves losing Spencer Schwellenbach already is a really huge deal for them. I think it's the Mets in this division. I think that the Marlins are an interesting team. I could see them going over their season win total with so many young offensive players and how they're still really good at developing pitching. The Nationals are probably going to challenge for the worst record in baseball, but the Mets deserve to be the favorite in this division. And I think if they don't win this division and they don't kind of get to those, you know, levels that they are expected to, I'm going to be real interested to see what happens post lockout with that team, because they got a lot of money committed to a lot of guys. And if this group can't do it, you can't really rebuild. So I don't know what you're going to do, but this is the season for the Mets where the rubber has to meet the road.
NL Central, Cubs are the short shot. Brewers seem to always overachieve. Reds, if they can keep that pitching healthy with Lodolo, Green, Abbott, Chase Burns, man, that's a hell of a a rotation there. Pirates, they can pitch, they can't hit, and then the Cardinals are 30-1. Any value on any of those teams?
I'm still a Brewers guy, man. What they do from a player development standpoint, the way that they've kind of filled in holes by making very, very savvy trades. They spend just kind of in the right areas with the, you know, limited financial, abilities that they have. This is just a really, really smart, really, really brilliant organization. And I love Logan Henderson. I think what they did with Chad Patrick and Quinn Priester last year was fantastic. I think Brandon Woodruff still has something left in the tank, not to mention Jacob Mizorowski. They always have a good bullpen. Like, they're just one of those teams, like kind of like my Guardians. They just always find a way to have a top 10 caliber type of bullpen that wins a lot of games for them. I love this Milwaukee team. I'm on them once again. I like them to win the division. The problem is they're built for 162. They're not built for the playoff sprint. So you kind of see them do really well in the regular season and then not do much in the playoffs. And I think it'll probably be the same thing for them here. But they have so many arms that they can throw at you and so many arms that they're capable of developing. Whereas for the Cubs, I mean, Shota Imanaga showed a lot of signs of regression last year. Jameson Taillon's getting up there in age. Justin Steele's going to have to come back off of a major procedure. Cade Horton got worked a lot more last year than they expected. I don't believe in Matthew Boyd. I don't believe Edward Cabrera can stay healthy for more than 110, 120 innings at most. The Cubs are a very, very talented team. Very talented, very athletic, elite defensively. I think the Brewers are still better. I think this is a two-team race in this division. I think the Reds kind of fall back a little bit. I like the Brewers coming out of the NL Central.
NL West, we can probably skip. Minus 600 for the Dodgers. I will say this. Man, 103.5, there's a market on DraftKings. Will any team win 105 games? Basically, best record over under 104.5, or I think that's how it's worded. Man, they kind of load managed last year. I think Dave Roberts, even after the season, said, you know what? Glasnow, Snell, Ohtani. We'll take our chances. We don't really care what seed we are. We'll take our chances in the playoffs as long as we're healthy. That's our whole goal. Would you expect the same approach, and what are your thoughts on their win total?
Yeah, I expect the same approach. So both Jensen Lewis and I have a bold take on each team in that MLB guide that I referenced. And my bold take for the Dodgers is that not a single starting pitcher throws over 150 innings for this team. I think you get the load management that you talked about. I think you get, you know, Emmett Sheehan probably throws about 100 innings. Roky Sasaki probably throws about 100 innings. You know, you'll have Snell and Glass now with phantom injuries where they just kind of stay fresh. Because there's one goal for the Dodgers, and it's to win the World Series. That's it. It's as simple as that. And they can do this load management thing with how good their offense is and how deep their pitching staff is to go out there and win the West, you know, go 93, 94, 95 wins, win it by 3, 4, 5 games, whatever they have to do, and then get into the playoffs and just maul people. So I think that, you know, from a season win total standpoint, I'd have to look under with them. They're obviously talented enough to win as many games as they want to, but I just don't think that they really want to win that many games. They want to win just enough, not tire anybody out, and go out there and do what they're supposed to do in October. So I don't know that anybody gets that high, that over 104.5 number. I think it's a very, very lofty number.
Yeah, it is.
Kind of based on some of the parity this season. Look, maybe the Padres figure it out, and maybe they got enough supplemental pieces here late now that they finally locked AJ Preller into an extension. They're still a very good team. They're not a Dodgers type of team, and the Giants aren't there yet. Arizona's a team I kind of like to fall back a little bit this season. The Dodgers will probably go, 95-67 and win the division by 3 or 4 games, and there won't really be a ton of drama.
Any awards you like? MVP, it's hard because unless they get tired of voting for Ohtani and Judge, unless they have a down year, I mean, it's just been those two guys, dominating that category. Rookie of the Year is always fun because there's just so many guys to choose from, and who knows who's going to get called up. Don't have to even start the year to win it. I don't know, Cy Young, anything. I'll give you the floor. Any awards you like that you would recommend?
Yeah, it's really tough, right? Because I actually, my bold take on the Royals was that Bobby Witt Jr. has the first 40-40 season in the American League since A-Rod back in 1998. But Bobby Witt Jr. is plus 550 to win MVP. So, like, if he goes 40-40, I think he's got a good shot at doing it. But there's still not enough equity in that for me to take a plus 550 and tie it up for, 7-8 months here, hoping that he's able to win the award. It's not a market that I'm typically going to play in, the MVP market, because, like you said, Judge and Ohtani probably should win it every single year. Jose Ramirez should be in the contention for it, too, because without him, the Guardians are a dumpster fire. But he just, only hits 30 home runs, not 60, and so hard for him to win it. I think from a Cy Young standpoint, you can go out there and take a few shots. I think that's kind of the area that I'm sort of looking at here. He's not lined everywhere, but I mentioned Logan Henderson already for the Brewers. I know Jacob Mizorowski is like 30-1. Henderson should be a guy listed on that board. So if you want to reach out to your sports book, maybe they'll give you triple digits on him, something like that. That's a long shot that I would be willing to take a look at there with Logan Henderson from the Brewers. I know he is on the Rookie of the Year board, so maybe that's a little bit safer of a play. But I think he could be really, really good for Milwaukee. As far as some shots to win the Cy Young, the one that I probably like the most is Logan Gilbert at 20-1. Logan Gilbert's slider last season was not as effective as it had been in the past, and he was still really good because he was leveraging his splitter a lot more. If that slider returns to form, and I'm assuming that's probably what he worked on all offseason long, I think Logan Gilbert at 20-1 is the guy that I will eventually settle on. He's a big workhorse dude. Did get hurt last year in May, and that kind of derailed his season. But he's a guy that can give you the innings, can give you the counting stats, pitches in a really friendly ballpark on a ball club that's going to win a lot of games. It's going to be easy for him to check a lot of those boxes. So I think Logan Gilbert at 20-1 in the American League for the Cy Young is probably my favorite of the player award market bets right now.
All right, last one, a loaded question. The lockout, you mentioned it. How does this play out ultimately? And we can forget what should happen. People want a salary cap. Some people don't. Some people want a floor. But how do you think this ultimately plays out? Is there possibly a scenario where we don't miss baseball the year after this?
With what the Dodgers did getting Kyle Tucker, I think that kind of cemented the fact there's going to be some sort of labor stoppage. It was probably going to happen anyway, but it was just another example where everyone around the league went, well, what, like, this is, what the hell? Like, how are we supposed to compete with this? So I think that kind of locked it in, especially because, one of my feature articles in the MLB guide was, does money buy championships? Kind of looking at the payroll numbers for the teams that have won or participated in the World Series. Only 3 times since 2012 has the highest payroll team won the World Series. The Dodgers have done it twice in consecutive seasons. So I think you're getting to a point where it's all going to come to a head. Obviously, the Tony Clark thing this week, having to resign as the chair of the MLBPA was a really interesting development, to say the least. But we don't get 162 games next year, I don't think. I don't know how many we get. We may not get any. But I do think that the league does need a salary floor. And I say that as a fan of a small market team like the Guardians, that I mean, you've got to spend enough to kind of be able to compete in some of those free agent waters. You'll get guys excited about wanting to come and play for your team. I don't know what a floor number looks like, maybe 100, 110 million, something like that. I think you should have a cap as well, but the cap should be pretty high, right? Because, I mean, you can't just do like a dispersal draft of, you know, these high payroll teams. So I think we get a cap. I think we get a floor. But, you know, it's going to be very, 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 very ugly, you know, especially with, you know, Super 2 contract manipulation. What do they do with arbitration? How do they kind of fix that? The you know, deferred salaries thing is going to be a big topic as well. It's going to be ugly, man. So we better enjoy this baseball season. And I think from a betting standpoint, you know, if you're a team on the cusp, especially if you miss the whole 27 season and you get a lot older, a team like the Phillies, a team like the Yankees, something like that, like those are teams that should be very aggressive over the course of the season to whether it's add pieces via trade or, you know, just the way in which they manage and leverage their relievers, all these kinds of things. Because if you're not playing baseball till 2028 and your core guys that are 32, 33 or all of a sudden 34, 35, that's a big deal. So I think some of these older teams are going to have to really push hard. And maybe that's a good betting angle as we go throughout the season, you know, within season futures and stuff like that.
Missing a season, man. Baseball's in a good place right now. People can say what they want, but the attendance is up. That was a great World Series. There's excitement. There's buzz. I don't know if it's Ohtani, whatever it is. Betting, I think, helps because it's such a day-to-day sport, and there's so many games. There's so much to bet. Baseball's in a great spot. There's an exciting young players. I mean, losing a year, they recovered from the strike in 94, which was, I'm old enough to remember, I'm sure you are too, and that was a disaster. That was really tough. And they eventually bounced back, but man, I'm not saying they could never bounce back from that, but that would just do really, really a ton of damage if that is the case.
Yeah, it would. And, you know, I mean, the framework of how all of this is presented is going to be really interesting from a PR standpoint because, you know, when they've had issues in the past or when other leagues have had issues in the past, the overriding sentiment is it's millionaires versus billionaires. And your average person is so turned off by both sides in that type of argument that it would be very difficult for Major League Baseball to come back from something like that. And it would take a long time. You know, I mean, Rob Manfred has already kind of said that, you know, he's got a few years left in his tenure before he kind of rides off into the sunset. And I mean, the pitch clock has done wonders for the game. It's certainly sped things up, made it, you know, a lot more interesting, a lot more action packed. Like you said, baseball has had this growing momentum and it's probably just going to hit a brick wall and explode at the end of the season. So that is going to be really tough. And like I said, no one feels sorry for either side in a millionaires versus billionaires argument. And if that's how this kind of gets framed, then baseball is going to have some probably irreparable damage, you know, coming from this whole labor stoppage, lockout, CBA negotiation.
Adam, this was great, man. Great job on the guide. Let everyone know where they can find you and where they can find it.
Yeah, so over at VSiN.com, if you become a VSiN Pro subscriber, you'll get all of the guides that we do, including this MLB guide that dropped on Tuesday here this week. But if you're not, if you don't want to become a subscriber, and you know this as well as I do, Will, right? Like I have 12 different subscription services for streaming and all these kinds of things, right? Trying to keep all these monthly payments in order and all of that. If you don't want to become a VSiN Pro subscriber, that's fine. But for $19.99, you can get your hands on this guide. It's 77 pages. I'm the nerd. I'm the analyst. I have the very data-driven take. And then Jensen Lewis, the co-host of VSiN by the Books, who played the game over 160 appearances as a major league reliever, his takes on all of these teams are in there as well. So it's a unique perspective. It's nothing that anybody else in the industry is doing from a baseball standpoint to get you ready for betting the season. So head to VSiN.com, slash subscribe if you want to become a subscriber, or vsin.com/guide and get your hands on this MLB guide for $19.99.
Thanks, Adam. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Have a good one.
All right. That was great. Thanks to Adam Burke. Thank you guys for listening. VSiN Baseball Betting Guide. Check that out. vsin.com. Rate, review, subscribe this podcast. Those really help us out. We will be back on Monday. See you then.